The confluence of truly devastating news this year has blown apart most Michiganders' sense of normalcy. In Detroit, there's one constant that sadly has not changed very much. Even with the pandemic, an economic crash, and months of Black Lives Matter protests underway. And that's the recitation of injuries and deaths that have happened due to gun violence. The FBI's annual report on crime in the United States was released on Monday for 2019 data, and in it, Detroit's rate of violent crimes leads the nation. We should say, overall, crime was down 12%, but homicides and non-fatal shootings were both up from the year prior. We can talk for a long time about statistics, but there is another way to understand what's going on in Detroit and other Michigan cities. Bryce Huffman of Bridge Detroit recently published an oral history of three women united in loss, their children claimed by gun violence. Here's part of his story.
Francesca was a bundle of joy.
This is Sherry Scott. She's telling me about her daughter, Francesca Marks.
She knew everybody in the neighborhood. She knew everybody's business in the neighborhood. Everybody knew her. I knew none of these people. So I was labeled Frankie's mom. She went by Frankie.
Frankie had her first baby at 19. She went on to have 7 kids total. Frankie's favorite thing to do with her kids was take them to the park. She would put food on the grill and let them run around. Unfortunately, on a nice warm day last August, Frankie took her kids to the wrong park. She and the kids heard gunshots nearby.
She turned around to get her baby. That's how she got shot.
Just like that, Sherry Scott lost her daughter, and 7 kids lost their mom. Her youngest kids are so young, they won't remember her when they grow up. Unfortunately, Frankie Marks is just one of the many people to die from gun violence in Detroit. As of September 1st, there have been 215 homicides in Detroit this year. Last year ended with 273 homicides. With all those murders, it can be hard to focus on what one family loses every time. But please, take a moment. Frankie was one of 273 murders. This story isn't about law enforcement or campaigns to end violence. This story is about mothers who lost their children. This story is about loss. Scott has only had about a year to process this loss. But what about mothers who have had more time to grieve? Justine Thornhill has had 11 years to think about losing her oldest son. His name was Justin. He was shot and killed while trying to buy a used car in 2009, just 2 days before enrolling in community college classes. He was 19 years old. Thornhill says the week of the shooting was especially hard for her.
Just hurt, angry, you know, wishing that I could reverse it like Superman did Lois Lane, but I knew I couldn't do that.
Despite these feelings, Thornhill says she tried her best to keep it all inside.
I had to be strong for my other 3 children because they were young.
Justin's brother, who was 9 at the time of the shooting, started lashing out in school.
I had to pull him out of school and have him online school because he was getting like D's and E's.
Eventually, the family began to adjust to their new normal, a world without Justin. But it took a lengthy trial that saw the gunman and his accomplice serve time before that happened. Thornhill says after a while, she forgave the people responsible for Justin's death.
So I had to forgive because at the end of the day, it's like they were, you know, they were young. They were somebody's kids as well. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't wish, you know, harm on them. You know, although they put, you know, they brought harm to our family. They brought harm to my, you know, my son. It's like I forgave.
She says she was able to forgive because the case had closure. She knows who killed Justin and she knows what happened to them. But that's not a luxury everyone has.
And there's no closure because we don't know what happened, why it happened.
This is Doris Fleming. Back in 2001, her daughter, a retired Detroit police officer, was picking up clothes from the dry cleaners. That's when she was gunned down by an unknown assailant. Her name was Sherilyn Fleming. The shooting happened nearly 20 years ago, but to her, it feels like the shooting was yesterday.
Every day, I think about it. Not a day that doesn't go by. And I just wondered, why did this happen to her?
In the background, you can hear Sherilyn's best friend fidgeting with plastic candy wrappers. She takes care of Doris now that she's older. She declined to be interviewed, but got up during the interview several times to cry or grab tissues. Fleming says the wound still feels fresh to people who were close to Sherilyn, but she thinks most people have forgotten about the shooting. She says the police haven't brought it up in years.
You know, you wonder, they don't even call you, or they don't say anything about it, or say, well, we're working on it, or we got some leak. There's nothing. Just nothing.
Fleming says on most days, she wonders what her daughter might look like if she were still alive.
Doesn't a day go by that I don't think about her? It's something that'll go on in here that I'll do, and I'll think, I guess Sherilyn would be doing this today, or she would be doing that today, you know.
Sherilyn would be 72 if she were alive today. She never got to grow old with her best friend or her mom. This kind of loss is common in Detroit. Sherry Scott, Frankie's mom, says people need to think more and shoot less.
Just stop the violence. Literally stop the violence. Because we're killing our people, you know? And then they done left these kids here with no mother. Whatever they was fighting over wasn't worth those kids losing their mom.
That story was produced by Bridge Detroit's Bryce Huffman, and he's with us now to talk more about his reporting on the story. Why did you want to talk about the toll of gun violence in this moment?
Well, it all started in a Bridge Detroit editorial meeting. We were talking about the rise in gun violence this summer and how just about everyone in Detroit either knows someone who has died from gun violence or someone who has been shot. And one of the things we were talking about is the lack of stories that just focus on that loss. You know, Detroit media does a really good job of talking about what the police are going to do about crime, or talking about a shooting the night it happens or the day after. But, you know, once that moment is gone, you know, the light on that family's loss is largely ignored.
As I mentioned, a lot of things have changed for us this year. But do you think that gun violence has ever really left the priority list for Detroiters if we were to ask them about priorities in the city?
I don't think so. Like you said, this year has been constant change in so many different ways that a lot of priorities have changed, but the prevalence of gun violence hasn't really gone away and it hasn't really left people's minds.
Yeah. The three mothers that you talked to, what were the things that had to happen for them to talk to you about their grief?
It really was a matter of getting them comfortable to talk about something that no one wants to talk about. No mother wants to talk about or even think about their child being killed. But I think through my ability to just meet people where they're at, I got these mothers to talk about a subject that is just really difficult, you know?
Yeah. What did you notice in the way that they spoke about ways that grief hits them?
I think the thing I noticed most as someone who's young and I don't have any kids myself, the emotions went from happy to sad in a flash. You know, it would go from, you know, me asking them what their kid was like and them having a smile on their face while remembering fondly. For instance, Sherry Scott talked about how her daughter liked to make barbecue a lot. And it went from very lighthearted and fun to talking about the week of the shooting. And that transition for each of the mothers was something that I picked up on when I was doing the interview. So although, you know, there were moments where we were celebrating the life of their kid who has passed, there was still a very heavy-heartedness to the conversation overall. And the different questions that I would ask would kind of bring out those different emotions in each of the mothers.
Hmm. Bryce, who were you hoping would hear the story or read it in the online iterations?
I was hoping, honestly, anyone from Detroit who either knew someone who was a victim of gun violence or someone who is really new to the topic would read this. I think the thing about this piece is that people can relate to it on all fronts because everyone has lost someone before their time, I think, whether it was to gun violence or whether it was to illness or a car accident, everyone knows what that feeling is like. So I was really hoping anyone who has experienced loss would read this.
You know, there's some kinds of stories, like you say, that are issue oriented, trying to get to the heart of something that's emerging. And then there are some stories when all you can do is just sort of witness. What do you think the value is for Detroiters who have lost someone to have someone witness, yes, this happened, this loss is still with me every day?
I think it's just relatable to people. So many times when we hear stories about gun violence, the angle is always, what is law enforcement doing to stop it? Or what are community activists doing to bring attention to it? But I think sometimes that kind of diminishes the feeling that the family has. And we really wanted to highlight that not only do these three families understand this feeling, but so many people across the city and across the country, quite frankly, have had to deal with the loss due to gun violence.
Bryce Huffman is a reporter for Bridge Detroit. You can read his story online about three mothers united in their grief. Bryce, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.